But as Erica indicated, we are now making a shift. We have gone from the praises of Palms to really the end of Holy Week. This Lent, we have been walking through the final week of Jesus' life. So we actually looked at Palm Sunday at the very first weekend in Lent. Today, we are looking at Friday. Now, last week, we looked at Thursday, the night that Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, and he was betrayed and arrested. Overnight, Jesus was tortured in a variety of ways. At 6 a.m. on Friday morning, before the part that you're about to hear read, Jesus is before Pilate, and Pilate looks at Jesus and says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" To which Jesus says, "You say that I am," and then Jesus is silent the rest of the day in Mark until the words that you'll hear from the cross. Friday really is about lots of different encounters with people to know as they're asking the question, who is Jesus really, as Pilate did. Things get worse for Jesus once Jesus says that to Pilate. Then he is taken out to be crucified. And so that's where we will pick up our scripture. Larry, will you share?
Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 15, verses 22 through 39. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge read against him, "The King of Jews," and with them, him, they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way that chief priests among with the scribes were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that it was, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we look at Friday, we're going to look at three different encounters with those who were trying to understand who Jesus was. None of the encounters will be with the disciples because the disciples have fled. Some women remained at the cross, but the disciples fled. And so the people that we'll be looking at today who wanted to understand who Jesus was were the ones who knew him the least. The first encounter is the one that I mentioned that carried this, that was with the section before Larry read to us. When Jesus was before Pilate at 6 a.m. in the morning, There he was bedraggled. And Pilate looks at him and says, "Are you King of the Jews?" And it's not a theoretical question for Pilate, because Pilate's title was King of the Jews. And Pilate, when he's asking Jesus if he's King of the Jews, the subtext is, well, if you're King of the Jews, then who am I? Pilate saying, I thought that I was in charge of the Jews, but if you're king of them, then who am I? And Jesus responds simply by saying, you say that I am. And then he says nothing more until he speaks from the cross. Are you King of the Jews? You see, for Pilate, it was a question of fear. Because if Jesus was King of the Jews, then what did that mean about him? And I need to tell you on this Good Friday that I often stand beside Pilate saying, are you king? Are you God's son? Because, you know, are you God? Because, well, I kind of hoped that I was. I don't know about the rest of you, but I like being in charge. I like being in control, especially of my own life. And if it turns out that Jesus is God and I'm not, then that affects a lot of how I like to plan my life. And I had a life pretty well planned out. I was going to be a doctor. It was neat. It was orderly. It was what I thought it was going to be. And then I ended up doing something else entirely. And it is not always as neat and as orderly as I once imagined my life would be. But the reality is that if Jesus is God and I am not, then that means a lot of times, most of the time, all of the time, I'm not in charge because Jesus is God. And so when we hear Pilate asking Jesus, are you King of the Jews? You need to hear that fear. And you need to hear what it means for Pilate if Jesus is King of the Jews, and what it means for each one of us when we ask that question. So when Jesus did not give the response that Pilate was looking for, Pilate had Jesus taken away. He was whipped. And then to further humiliate him, the guards took off his clothes. You can't get more humiliated than that. They dressed him in a fake robe and gave him a fake scepter and pretended that he was king so that they could mock him. And then they stripped him once again, put back on his own clothes, which were bedraggled by that point, and sent him off to be crucified. At 9 a.m., Mark says only that they crucified him. Crucifixion didn't require any more explanation than that. Everybody knew what crucifixion was. It was state-sponsored terrorism. Crucifixion was a punishment imposed by the government of Rome on the citizens of the territory that they occupied as a way of publicly saying, if you defy the Roman authorities, this will happen to you. They had other similar means of execution. They would feed people to the lions. They would burn people alive. All of these were ways of making sure that people were scared of Rome and did not get out of line. The place where they crucified people, the uprights were permanently there, so that as people were walking by during their daily business, there would always be these uprights to remind them that if they did one thing out of line, they could easily find themselves on that. What they would do is they would take the prisoner and they would attach the prisoner's arms to the cross part, and then they would go out to this place of execution where that crossbar would be attached to the rest, to the upright, making that cross. If they wanted to be really terrible, and often they did, the Roman government would not allow the body to be taken away, and they would leave it low enough to the ground sometimes so that wild animals could come and eat the dead body. It was a means of terrifying the population to keep them under control. And so Jesus was put to death in this way. And Pilate, who when he'd asked Jesus if he was king of the Jews, and Jesus responded, was not done taunting Jesus. And so he made a sign, or had a sign put over his head, that said, "The King of the Jews." And so what happened then was that the passerbys that were coming by would see Jesus there, and they saw the sign, "The King of the Jews," and all of them had to make their own decision about who Jesus was. And so that's the second encounter of that day with who Jesus was. They saw the sign of the King of the Jews, and what did the passerbys do? Did they pause and did they say, "Thank you so much, Jesus, for getting on that cross on my behalf. Thank you for giving yourself sacrificially so that we could experience God's love fully. Thank you for opening the doors to heaven and eternity for us. Thank you for ushering in the kingdom of God and showing us what true love truly is." No, they didn't say that. They saw this peasant man who had been tortured, was battered, bruised, bedraggled on that cross, and they looked at him and they taunted him and mocked him too. I'm sure they were thinking, okay, if you're king of any kingdom, I don't want to be a part of that kingdom. I'd rather be a part of this kingdom over here where, you know, where people aren't being put to death. I'd rather be part of this kingdom where it's safer, where you can make a living, where you can get by day to day. I'd rather be a part of that kingdom, and I don't want to be a part of whatever you are king of. And I understand the crowds. I do, because often I'm standing right with the crowds. It is so much easier to go with the flow, to follow the crowd, to do what everybody else is doing, to do what is easy, what is safe, what is expected. But when we ask ourselves, as we look at this Friday of Jesus' life, who Jesus is, if he's king of us, there are going to be times where we have to say no to the crowd, where we have to go our own way, where we have to leave our safe place, where we have to risk a lot. Who is Jesus? For the crowds, he was simply somebody to taunt and avoid. And so the events of this Friday continue. At noon, it goes dark. It's as if all of creation is joining in mourning this event. And at 3:00, Jesus utters the words, the only words that Mark records, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he breathes his last. And after that, the first person in the entire Gospel of Mark who gets it right, who knows who Jesus is, that person speaks and says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The first one in all of Mark to get it right. None of the disciples had gotten it by then. Nobody who had followed him had gotten it then. It was the centurion who said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The man who was in charge of putting Jesus to death. The one who was in charge of making sure that everything happened in an orderly manner in this terrible, terroristic way of putting someone to death. The man who wanted to make sure the crowds did not uprise, but that they saw what was going on. This man who kept his eyes on Jesus to make sure that everything happened as it should. He was the one who first announced who Jesus really was. Scripture doesn't tell us what price he paid for saying that, but I know there had to have been a price. You see, as a centurion, he worked for the government, and the emperor was considered the Son of God. And when the centurion says that this man on the cross was the Son of God, he is choosing against the emperor. He is choosing really against his profession. I don't know if he was then fired or worse happened to him for daring to say that. But he did. The centurion showed us the way to say, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." You see, sometimes there's a cost to saying that out loud. And sometimes the cost is the way things have always been. Sometimes the cost is turning away from the crowd, embracing what looks like the last thing you'd want to embrace. Sometimes the cost is so high that we can't even know what it is, but we say it. You see, on this Friday, we remember that who Jesus is on the cross is found in these words of Scripture. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised and we held him of no account. Doesn't it sound like Isaiah is looking at the cross, like he's recording what happened? And he continues, the prophet Isaiah does, saying, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This man is the Son of God. And to choose for Jesus means to be open to that man on the cross, to those moments of weakness, those moments of pain, those moments of sacrifice, and to choose again and again to follow this man. During this coming Holy Week, I invite you to truly encounter Jesus, to ask yourself, who is this man? Who do I want him to be? Who do I need him to be? Who is he? And where is he calling me to follow? And then find your way forward to follow him wherever he may lead you. Will you pray with me? Oh Christ, as we stand before the cross once again, give us new eyes to see, to hear, to know your love, and to follow that love wherever it may lead us. Amen.